You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Good Monday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny. It's July 7th, 2025, and boy, do we have a lot to talk about today. Jeff Passan of ESPN, who broke the news yesterday that Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez were being fired by the Nationals, will join us to talk about the team's decision to dismiss their two top lieutenants, but also to talk about the managerial and GM markets at some possible names of interest for the Nationals. At 5 o'clock today, a former big league general manager in his own right, Jim Duquette, will stop by. He works over at MLB Network Radio. We'll get his thoughts on the Nats' decision to fire Mike Rizzo, their president of baseball operations, and Davey Martinez, their manager. Danny, it seemed like just a normal weekend where the Nats got swept.
And
It wasn't that fun to be a fan of the team. And then last night, all heck broke loose with the Passan report. Changed the evening around here and certainly the complexion of the shows ahead and this organization in the years ahead.
Yeah, it's a departure. And I can't remember a time or a firing or you know, someone being removed from office, so to speak, that had this many angles and this many permutations and this many complicating factors. Because previously it's like, yeah, this guy's incompetent, so they fired Vinny Serrato, or this guy's incompetent, Bruce Allen got fired, or this guy isn't particularly good at his job, Ernie Grunfeld's gone. There are so many layers to this onion about what's going on, what hasn't gone on, what should be going on, all the backdrops from what used to be one of the good kids here in town. I couldn't escape this last night. And again, we'll discuss every angle of this thing. We'll get inside it like nobody can. But it used to be the good kids in town. It's Capitals and Nationals, and you knew what they were about. It's a good process. The window's open. They're in the playoffs every year. Knock, knock, knock on the door. Well, turn around. Middle of 2025, year of our Lord. The Wizards are competently run. No results to show for it yet, but just savvy, smart front office guys wheeling, dealing, shucking, jiving. And the football team, a popular ownership group run by a competent, handsome gentleman with a flat top.
He doesn't have a flat top.
Oh, whatever it is. I mean, a nice head of yeah. Hair.
Anyone who has a good haircut, I've noticed, you say has a flat top. You did that with Sean McVay for a long time.
He does have a flat top. Spikes up in the front, just kind of goes flat.
He has a little spiky hair in the front. That's true. But you're right. I got a text yesterday from someone, Danny, who said, thank God we have the Commanders. And it was basically a spit take moment for me where I thought,
can you believe it?
What? Like, that's
what's going on.
Mike Rizzo had been in D.C. since 2007, originally hired to come in as an assistant general manager and a head scout. Two seasons in that post, became the general manager of the team in 2009 when they dismissed Jim Bowden. And he has been the general manager of the Nationals ever since, which is 16 years and 17 or so baseball seasons later. He has been the team president, had that on his business card starting in 2013. So you're talking about a 12-year run. Only Brian Cashman has run a ball club in Major League Baseball longer than Mike Rizzo. So I guess we should start there and say, you don't get to have these jobs forever. In dog life. They consider a year 7 years, basically. Mm-hmm. That's what they say. When a dog's four, it's really 28 because of dog years. Mike Rizzo had a job for like 156 GM years. When you're around for almost two decades, that does not really happen. The only way it's made possible is when you win a championship. And I think that's another reason why this gets so complicated. As you said, with a lot of those other guys, whether it's Bruce Allen or Vinny Serrato or Ernie Grunfeld or any other GM that comes and goes, even if Adam Peters is here for seven, eight, nine seasons and has a successful run, if he doesn't win a Super Bowl, it's going to be a lot easier to move on. When you win a championship and you hoist a banner that flies forever, Danny, it gets a lot more complicated to say goodbye. And that's another of the many whacks at the pinata today that we've got to go through. One of the many layers we've got to peel back on this onion is, in the case of both Rizzo and Martinez, they won a championship. 2019 was a long time ago. That was a different ownership group ago, as far as I'm concerned. That was during Ted Lerner's life. It's been a very, very different situation with ownership since, and a lot has changed in the meantime, including the Nats having the second worst record in baseball behind only the Colorado Rockies.
Yeah, now second worst record in the National League to go with that. So the pieces fit, right? I mean, for this year, when expectations are set, right, where we think we're going to be good or we think we're competing, and not only do you fall short of that, but you fall dramatically short. There are so many different nuances to what's gone on this season. Barry wrote this and talked about this in his column that we'll kind of get into today as well. But there was this puffing out of the chest that didn't sort of fit with a group that had lost 90 plus games a whole bunch of years in a row, that hadn't been very good yet. And they thought there was an arrival that was taking place that didn't really make any sense. And you wonder what the metrics were for success. You wonder what was supposed to happen with this payroll and with this group that was assembled.
Let's get you some breaking news right now as things continue to develop on the Nationals' evolving and fluid situation. It is official that Miguel Cairo, the team's bench coach under Davey Martinez over the last year and a half, came in 2024 with the ball club, was in his second season as Martinez's right-hand man on the bench, on this coaching staff, is going to be named the interim manager. The team had made him the offer. He stayed back, didn't travel with the team last night to meet with officials, led by new acting interim general manager Mike DiBartolo. Cairo wanted to mull it over and is going to accept the post as the interim manager for the Washington Nationals moving forward. So they will not be going outside of the organization. That's breaking news into 106.7 The Fan right now. We'll get back to Rizzo and Davey's oustering yesterday, which is the much bigger story here. But quick reactions. I would have gone with Matthew Lecroy, the AAA manager at Rochester with the Red Wings. I think getting the opportunity here to hit reset, to have a fresh voice, a new set of eyes, just a breath of fresh air in the clubhouse, probably would have done them some good. I'm a little bit surprised Cairo took the post, although I'm sure Davey signed off. A lot of times when you've got a handpicked buddy of a manager as a bench coach who remains after his guy gets fired, they don't take the job. But this will be the second time Miguel Cairo's been an interim manager. He did this in Chicago with the White Sox back in 2022, 3 years ago. So this is old hat for him. He's taken over a bad team that had just fired a manager before, and that's part of the reason why I'm sure he was a high candidate on the list.
Yeah, I think this is the least disruptive in a moment of disruption. You know, that when the manager, the GM are gone, instead of relocating, Matt LaCroix from AAA, which means someone else has to be the new manager of AAA, which means someone else has to be the new manager, probably a AA, or this roving coordinator is now, you're replacing more and more parts. This was the most seamless thing for the club, and I get the sense that he may have been mulling it for a while, whether it was getting permission from Davey or saying, hey, I'm not stepping on any toes here or being untoward by taking it. And I'm sure Davey is gracious as always. Probably told him, yeah, dude, it's the right thing to do. Of course, take it over, keep as little disruption for the guys in the locker room and everyone else as possible. Again, when something chaotic is happening, which is what just went down.
Yeah, and it was pretty obvious that this was where they were going to start the search. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at the GM search, if there was such a thing, they just went to the guy right underneath of Mike Rizzo.
Yep.
Rizzo was out. Mike DiBartolo, who sits next to him and watches every single game, who's the highest ranking kind of R&D analytics type in their front office, becomes the acting general manager. And similarly with manager, as the dust settles here, the highest ranking assistant coach under Davey Martinez, the bench coach Miguel Cairo, will take over. So this is not wholesale. They're not blowing a bunch of people in the front office out with Rizzo a week before the draft. They're not knocking the coaching staff apart and know, leaving Rebel and saying, we've got Sean Doolittle elevated and Jim Hickey's out at pitching coach and Chris Johnson is now the hitting coach and Darnell Coles is out. There's continuity here. Everybody on the staff outside of Davey, which is the entire group that he's brought in since the championship-winning staff all dissipated post-World Series, they remain for the remainder of the year. Now, unfortunately, a lot of those guys who are Davey disciples are seemingly dead men walking because you would imagine they'd have to interview for their posts with a new manager, and some of them may be retained. I think Sean Doolittle has been great as a chance to be here as an example. But by and large, we're going to see a very different-looking coaching staff next year, as you should, after you have this type of year and you fire your manager. The front office is going to be really interesting. We'll get into what that search looks like and who they end up seeking. What does that look like? Should they go get someone who's been a GM before, who's available, a Thad Levine type who went to T.C. Williams High School here, Alexandria City? Or do you go with a young, ascending analytics star? Can you get a really qualified riser in the industry to take this job right now? The bones on the field are actually pretty good. A manager or a GM looking at this team with Mackenzie Gore in the rotation and James Wood in the outfield with Dylan Cruz and C.J. Abrams in the infield. I think there's a lot of people that would jump at that opportunity. But when you open up the hood here and you look underneath at ownership and money being spent and engagement and investment and, you know, different members of the family at times seemingly being at odds over roles and who wants to be involved and who doesn't, that's a lot less fun. So I think it's going to be very, very complicated for them to make a slam dunk hire, both to replace Rizzo and Davey Martinez, especially because there's a likely work stoppage looming in baseball after next year. The CBA is up. I've had plenty of people tell me that the Learners may still well be in the business of selling the team eventually, but they just have to wait and let the CBA play out because no one's going to buy the team until after a potential and expected work stoppage. So it's almost like we're in this holding pattern. Yep. And if that's true, hiring a GM and a manager during that is not going to be the best timing.
Without a doubt. I mean, the draft is next Sunday, which we haven't even talked about yet.
6 days.
Yeah, 6 days. I mean this Sunday. Sorry, yeah. I misspoke. So the timing is nuts for a million reasons, right, for all this, right? I mean, this is one of those things I remember going back to, I think it was the then Redskins, maybe a WFT at that point, whatever, where if you were going to fire Jay Gruden, then it didn't really make that much sense to me to wait five games, and then sure enough, they're bad, and you pull that lever during the season. But it was just one more thing that you could do as an excuse maker for somebody up at the top, in this case, Bruce Allen. Like, if you didn't want him back, you should just let him go in the offseason. But, you know, you don't want to pay someone not to work for you. So right here in the middle is a little bit odd. Not necessarily with Davey Martinez. Again, I'm not making light of it or being trivial about him. It's a significant deal to lose your gig. But a team that's been a disaster. They've been terrible. They're, again, second worst record in the National League behind the lowly Colorado Rockies. They have struggled. They have fallen short of expectations, theirs and even outsiders. They have really underperformed, not been very good. So that's not crazy to me that the manager would be let go. That you do all in one kind of fell swoop with this timing surrounding the draft, the front office organization, leaving everybody kind of scrambling for what do you do at 1-1, and then the first pick of the second round, and so on down the line. It's interesting. It's intriguing. You can't help but notice that there were options to be picked up within a couple of weeks there in July. Chelsea James reported that. That's a part of the conversation, but it all looks like an organization that doesn't really know what it's doing. That's kind of the big pullout, the 30,000-foot view, like explaining it to someone like they're five. Hey, five-year-old, they don't seem to be on the same page.
It just feels dysfunctional when you're blowing out the person that runs the draft the week of the draft. It feels like there's no plan when you're firing the guy that coordinates the trade deadline the month of the trade deadline. It seems like a really bad thing. Now, the work's done on the draft. It's 99.99% over. They're on to next year and their prep and their evaluations. There are still meetings to be had and boards to be put together and some names to move around for sure. And the staff is still here, right? The Danny Haas and the Brad Cilic and the the Bartolo operation in R&D. All those guys that were going to be sitting in the war room still are, and there's just one fewer butt in a seat in the case of Mike Rizzo on draft night. Now, the issue with draft history doesn't get fixed unless you think Rizzo was just the nincompoop that didn't know how to draft and everyone else in the room were a bunch of geniuses and they screwed up the draft because some Dan Snyder-like operation would happen where he'd come in at the last second and go, ooh, you guys were going to take Cam Smith? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to take Siever King. Oh, you guys wanted me to take fill in the blank? No, no, no. Your year of work is no good here. I mean, it's the same group. Now, it's only been a couple of years with this operation because just like in player development, where Eddie Longos now runs the outfit, on the draft side with this tandem they brought in, it's only been a couple of years. So the forever unsuccessful operation led by Chris Klein was gutted a couple of years ago. They made those changes, and one of Rizzo's shortcomings, one of the reasons yesterday happened, I think, in the end, was his loyalty for too long to, you know, people that just didn't have good enough track records. They had some success in the international market with Juan Soto, Victor Robles, and some others with Johnny DePuglia, but not nearly enough of it. And DePuglia was here for a long, long time until he wasn't. He was a Rizzo guy. Same with Chris Klein. He really stood by people for a long time. And you can make the case he did it with Davey in the end.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe Davey was still managing the team yesterday. And we'll probably spend a lot less time, if I had to guess, on Davey today, because that one is a pretty easy story to tell. He had a great run in 2019. He made the World Series possible. No other manager probably has the positivity, the optimism to get the team through the 19-31 rut. He managed his butt off in the playoffs, shortening his pen, using starters as relievers. But otherwise, early in his career, there was plenty of underachieving by a good club. And since around 2021, 2022, he's been handed nothing to work with, and he's lost a lot of baseball games with a team that should have lost a lot of baseball games. But I guess let's start with the timing of this. It seems insane to your point that you would do this now ahead of the draft. What I know is that Davey Martinez had an option that needed to be picked up on July 15th. That option, I've been told, was for $2.5 million to manage the team next year. If ownership had decided, correctly in my opinion, that he was not going to be the manager of the team in 2026 and they were not going to exercise his option for next year at 2.5 mil, then they very likely said, well, if we tell him that now, then in the rest of July, August, and September, he's a lame duck managing this team. We're entrusting our young players to a guy for 2.5 months who's not going to be here. It would be like telling you we're not picking up your contract and letting you host radio shows for 3 or 4 months. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, you have a worst case a Riggleman situation where, you know, you're demanding an answer and you know, he defiantly won't get on the bus to go to the team flight and then you get chaos ensues and he's calling into the junkies the next day. You'd expect him to be a pro, but at the same time, it's just not done in pro sports, right? Where if a guy knows he's done and there's still 3 months left with some of your prized possessions, some of these young players, to your point, it's just not a good chemistry. It's not a good mix.
Which is why I wonder about the timing of the options. I wonder if Rizzo and Davey had their options placed in July for this reason, because they didn't want to have their futures hanging over their head, because unlike in the past where they weren't sure if they were going to be back in the following year, maybe you want the finality of it so that you go into the offseason with a chance to land another job. I don't know. I don't know if it was the learner's idea to do that. I could tell you that I texted some people in front offices around baseball, both former and current high-ranking execs, and every single one of them said it was odd to them that you would have a contract option in the middle of July. For this reason, basically, because you're either setting yourself up to be screwed over and fired in Davey Martinez's case, and I have no issue with his dismissal, or to have to manage, if you want to do it that way, knowing you're not going to be back, which seems odd. Here's what I haven't been able to corroborate and I can't confirm.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Rizzo's deal was also up. He also had an option. I'm told it was for $4 million next year as the team president. Was that option also due to be picked up in July? I don't know. I've seen one story, I believe it was Mark Zuckerman, Masson Sports, who speculated that that was the case, but it didn't sound like, with sourced information, he knew for sure that the option had to be picked up in July. Again, I was told the date of Martinez's option, July 15th.
It was 15th, yeah.
Would stand to reason they would be together, but I don't know. It would seem insane to me that you would have your team president's option needing to be picked up between the draft and the trade deadline. That wouldn't make any sense. I'm thinking it would have been at the end of the season. But the reason I throw this out there, Danny, is that if it's true that Rizzo also had this option to be picked up July 15th or not, then the logic is the same.
Yeah.
Then if you know you're not bringing him back, if you've told him that and now he's a lame duck executive for the rest of the year, why should he run your draft this year? Why should he run your trade deadline if he's not around next year? You allow someone, else in the organization to do that. I just haven't been able to confirm that his option, like Martinez's, was in July. I just have to assume, based on common sense, it was at the end of the year, but I don't know that. And if his was at the end of the year, that's when the timing makes way less sense to me. Because it doesn't have to be a package deal. You fire Davey Martinez or you have Rizzo do it. If he refuses to, you could fire him or maybe you could say, okay, you're out too. But I was told that's not what happened. There was no refusal by Rizzo to do anything. They just decided to fire both.
I think in a lot of people's minds, they became linked together when Rizzo was on with the Junks, as he always was every Wednesday, went on record, standing by his guy, saying, you know, we're not making any changes. We're just, you know, in Top Gun terms, keep sending them up. We're just going to keep doing the same thing. A third base coach wasn't changed. You know what I mean? The guy that throws BP is the same dude that was throwing BP the whole time. No Darnell Coles, no Jim Hickey switch, no, you know, the guy that's in charge of the tarp. They didn't make a single change at all during this disaster of a season. Kind of, to me, that tells a huge story here in one way or the other.
That is baffling to think about. That on the, it was like 0 to 100 in a sense. They've done nothing.
Nothing.
Like you could change so many minor things. A hitting coach like you're putting on underwear. Mm-hmm. A pitching coach like you're putting on a t-shirt. You know, you could have moved on from your number two hitting coach if you wanted to. Chris Johnson like it's flip-flops. They didn't do anything. And then on the same day, the president who's been here since 07 and the manager who's been here since 18 who both have rings, you're out. And everybody else is still here.
Yeah.
It really is unbelievable.
I mean, to me, it tells the story. And again, whether it was there was an ultimatum or not, I don't know that there was. In fact, I you know, it sounds like we've heard differently.
Yeah, I've been told that he was not, meaning Rizzo, was not told to fire anyone and refused to.
It is the sense I have, though, is when the fan anger of, somebody do something, right? Before it gets to apathy, because a lot of fans are at apathy. But those that are left are in the someone do something
Bring
phase.
Bring me ahead.
Show me that you understand that I shouldn't be paying for this. Show me that you get this as a disaster. Just do something, right? I wanted that for months with Ron Rivera and the Martys and Marty and Marty and Martin and Marty. I wanted somebody has to go. Please show me that you know this sucks. Nobody did anything. Just keep, you know, have Ricky Gutierrez keep sending runners into outs. Keep having guys get picked off. Maybe tell Gerardo Parra, you know what, why don't you switch? Miguel Cairo could coach first base. You sit next to me for a while and tell me who I should warm up in the bullpen. Somebody do something different while you're losing to the Rockies. 11 straight games. We're fine. Keep at it. We're on course. No, you're not. No one does anything. So it tells me that that anger finally got to this disinterested, unfocused, uncommitted group of owners that they finally decided, we got to do something.
Yeah.
And here we are.
9-25 since the start of June, spelled doom, for manager Davey Martinez and general manager president Mike Rizzo. Outscored over that stretch of 34 games by 51 runs. And this weekend against the Red Sox was the icing on the cake. 21 runs allowed in the first two games of kind of unserious baseball, and they were swept 27-9 by Boston. And it was after Game 3 and a third straight loss to the Red Sox that the decisions were made. Let's open up the phones next at 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Was the right decision made yesterday? I can't imagine there's going to be that much defense of Davey Martinez because that felt inevitable in a long time coming. But specific to Rizzo, which was the big surprise, do you think the right decision was made a week ahead of the draft, less than a month from the trade deadline, with a guy who has been the architect at one point in time of a near decade-long run as the best team in the league and a former World Series champion? You're listening to Grant and Danny on The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Grant and Danny on this Monday with massive Nationals news. Welcome back. Thank you for listening to The Fan. Our poll of the day is up on the 106.7 The Fan Twitter account presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage. It's also the question we're asking you on the phones right now at 800-636-1067. Did the Nationals make the right decision by firing Mike Rizzo with Davey Martinez yesterday after the team was swept by Boston and fell to 37-53? The Metropolitan and Moving Storage poll of the day: local, long distance, residential, commercial, three decades of best-in-class service and experience. Danny?
No. Because here's what I wonder. What is the metric? What are you being judged against? Who? You and I know if our ratings are bad for an extended period of time, we'll lose the gig. A salesperson knows you don't meet your sales quota for X number of quarters, you lose the gig. A riveter, your rivets fall out, or they don't work for X number of times, you lose the gig. What was the standard? What are we being judged against? What were the criteria? And without any kind of plugged-in plan, without any kind of plan at all from this ownership group, from an intractable, glacially paced group of folks that kind of can't figure out which way is up on anything, I don't know what standard they were holding Mike Rizzo to for a long enough time. Doesn't mean he gets a job for life because of the success. They haven't been successful in a long time. But he's trying to go into the budget DVD bin, find a good movie, and you're mad at him for not finding a good movie when he can only spend a dollar. You know what I'm saying? If he gets to go to the good DVD bin and he comes home with Shawshank Redemption, great job. When you see he can only spend a buck and it's Colin Poche, I know you're limited. Doesn't mean he's done everything right, but I always wonder what the standard is. So for me, after the season, with a longer plan in place, you get a search firm involved, you start figuring out what you don't know, and engaged ownership, I could get behind it. This is not an engaged ownership group. And that's kind of the pivotal point here for me is you don't get to come off your perch for the first time in months and be interested for an hour and a half and fire the architect the week before the draft. That, to me, isn't the right decision.
So you mentioned earlier this is really complicated and there's a lot of layers to it. And I think for me, that's because there's multiple conversations to have at the same time. The first is really the only one I care about. And I think that's where I differ from a lot of the people that will be calling in today, which is to say that this is all about ownership, in my opinion. That the lack of spending at the major league roster has caught up to them. And whatever that looks like in terms of spending on things that involve development and drafting and in every other organization of the team, I think is extremely problematic. So I don't care if Andrew Friedman of the Dodgers walked through that door. I don't think you're getting championship-level production in baseball when you're not engaged, you're not involved, and financially you're not committed. So that, to me, is the beginning, the end of any conversation, full stop, put a period at the end of the sentence. Now, if you want to just suspend that and say, okay, we get it, you think this is about ownership and that's where we need to focus, like we did with Dan Snyder for many, many years, we still talked about football. So if you want me to just have now a different conversation and set that to the side, which is that everything else is getting evaluated and graded on curves because this is an unacceptable, kind of ridiculous state of the union here, I can also do that. And that's where I would tell you that while I think the ledger for Mike Rizzo over his duration was way more positive than it was negative, and that I would say he'll be remembered as a gigantic success here because they won a World Series, and that 2012 to 2020-ish time frame was marvelous, where they were one of the best teams in Major League Baseball pre-pandemic. Post-pandemic, it has been really bad. And in a results business, it is very reasonable that you're out of a job when you're in charge of the draft and the draft results look like they have. Mm-hmm. And when you're in charge of developing players and the development of players looks as unsuccessful as it has been for as long as it has been that way. So this was, for me, about timing when I say I wouldn't have done it. The week of the draft, the month of the deadline, but also in season. I would have had no problem, frankly, if they would have moved on and gone in a different direction this offseason that passed. This coming offseason, I think I'm in a place now where I would have started fresh. Manager would have been long gone because I would have fired Davey during the Rocky series. And in Rizzo's case, rather than re-upping at $4 million and keeping him around, I would have probably gone maybe younger and more data-driven or something like that if things didn't turn around in the second half of the season because the results would be speaking for themselves. That having been said, I think that this happening yesterday, for me, is what I have a hard time getting behind. But I don't think anything that took place is crazy. You know, it all makes sense when you look at how bad it's been for as long as it's been bad. What's funny is they're not that far away. And that's where I go back to, if only they'd spent a little bit of money. And the last thing I'll say is this. Whereas Rizzo, the quote he used with Barry Svrluga in the Post, which I loved, was, I navigated that ownership group for 20 years, which is so telling,
tells
right?
The story.
But whereas he did a really good job with his front office for a long time, especially at trades, masking the deficiencies of their own foibles in the draft and in development or what have you. Also, making $10 go a long way, that's what this job's going to be. We're operating in this town now like it's small market baseball. You need someone who can be a small market executive. You're only getting 50 bucks when the big boys get 1,000. You need to make your 50 bucks go a long way. They couldn't have had a worse offseason, in my opinion, with the money they were given. Now, the offseason problem to me is still ownership. They didn't spend enough. Mm-hmm. You can't sit here and tell me with a straight face that this team should be a playoff team when their highest paid player is Nathaniel Lowe and their second highest paid player is Mike Soroka. You don't get to have that be the case and be a playoff team. Those two things can't be true. They weren't supposed to be good, by the way. 70.5 wins was their projected win total in Las Vegas. 70 wins.
Yep.
They're on pace for 67 after the last horrendous 6 weeks. Only the Marlins, Rockies, and White Sox, according to oddsmakers, should have been worse than this Nats team that was built this year. They didn't build it that way because Mike Rizzo hates spending money or doesn't like good players. They built it that way because those are the resources they were given. That having been said, again, complicated, there's more conversations to have always. If I only give you $6 million to get a good DH, you're not going to get a good DH. But you got to get someone who helps you more than Josh Bell did. No, that didn't work. I only give you $8 million to spend on your bullpen. Well, that doesn't go as far as it needs to. I need $20 million. I'm giving you $8. Well, I need to spend that $8 million not on Colin Poche, Lucas Sims, and Jorge Lopez, who are all gone in the first month of the year. And to me, that's where this thing went off the rails. In the past, I made the money go a little further. And for the first time, they really had a very, very bad offseason, in my opinion, with the little bit of money that they were given. And that's part of why yesterday happened.
I think that's fair. Yeah, I mean, to me, I keep going back to what is the standard, right? If we just discovered what the standard is yesterday, that this isn't good enough, oh, man, I got a big mirror for you to look into,
well,
to the ownership group.
I mean, ownership. Did they expect this team to be pretty good, do you think? And did Davey and Mike saying in the spring and all season, and I think Mike was just saying what he has to as an executive. It's mm-hmm. Mike Shanahan saying he'll stake his reputation
on
John Beck. But, like, did they pay for the fact that they said to everyone who would ask, this is our year to turn the corner. This is our year to get over 500. This is our year to compete. I can't imagine they really believed that. I just think that they're smart enough as baseball guys to know that when Nathaniel Lowe and Mike Soroka at $19 million combined are your two high-paid big-ticket items, you're probably not going to win 84 or 86 games. But do you think they paid the price, whereas maybe they were saying that to ownership?
That's what I wonder.
Last year, you're 37-53. You told me you were going to be over 500.
Yeah, the worst thing you can do is fall short of expectations. So when the Wizards tell you, we're rebuilding, people can make a joke or two here and there, but nobody's furious. I mean, a couple people are mad, but everyone also understands, being an adult, gets that they're rebuilding. You don't get mad at them for losing 65 games. When you tell us you're going to be good and it's going to be better than it was and it's worse, people get pissed. So that pissed off, I think, finally got up to the ownership suite, right? Of where fans are furious, and it finally got enough of them rattled the cage enough times where they go, hey, we should probably do something too.
Jeff Passan of ESPN broke the news yesterday. He's on the show in 20 minutes. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in. Let's go to Dan, who's in Connecticut. Dan, did they make the right decisions yesterday?
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Appreciate you.
Absolutely. I've been saying this for years. I think that the game has passed Rizzo by. If you look at the last decade or so, a lot of guys in their 30s and 40s, you know, the MIT, WizKid, Sabermetrics, people were promoted. Like Rizzo, he's 64. He's kind of got the older, scout vibe to him. And so that's my first point. And my second point would be, Danny, your question of what is the standard? The standard is draft well. And last 10 years has been abysmal. I mean, they did a good job with Harper, Strasburg, Rendon. Those were consensus top five, number one overall guys. But we're talking Mason Dennebarg and Jackson Rutledge and Elijah Green, these guys that are like quote-unquote toolsy. He's tall and he throws hard. Or this guy has great power and, lots of speed. But guess what? He doesn't know what the strike zone is. I'm talking about Green, who's, number one in the minors in strikeouts. So I'm curious as to your
well, so that's
that.
Your standard. Yeah. And it's a good one, by the way. It's mine, too. You cannot have a run of Eric Fetty, Carter Kieboom, Seth Romero, Mason Dennebarg, Jackson Rutledge, and you mentioned some of the other names. You can't. That's your standard. Ownership standard, I don't know what it is. That's my point.
They've extended Rizzo multiple times during and after that window.
Yeah.
So it wasn't their standard at some point. By the way, when they played some checkbook baseball and actually signed free agents, and via great trades throughout his entire time here, and his trade history is the calling card. Mm-hmm. It is... in a savior, in a sense, because of the drafting and the development.
Yeah.
But they were able to mask those deficiencies with resources. When the resources dried up, you can't mask them as well. Thank God for the Soto dealer, you're the Rockies, basically. But nobody in his time as an executive has had a better trade history than Mike Rizzo, and that coupled with some really, I think, successful free agency decisions, including one of the great free agency signings ever in Max Scherzer.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, his ledger may go down as a World Series champion, and on his business card it might say, best free agent signing in history with Scherzer and the best trade return ever on the Soto deal. Not too shabby.
Not bad, right?
That doesn't speak to everything else where there were shortcomings, obviously. But I promise you, to the caller's point, if you are handcuffed, if you don't have the technology that you need to develop players, see the Post story this week about the hitting machine they don't have that some teams have had since 2018. Andrew Friedman ain't going to be drafting as well as he does with the Dodgers playing checkbook baseball with unlimited funds either. Now, doesn't mean it's an excuse, and if that's what they said to him, hey, too many years where the draft and the development hasn't been good enough, I think it's really hard to argue that. And that is a reasonable enough decision to make. I would ask why they wouldn't have made it this offseason and why they waited until now on the precipice of a draft that you could say, well, it's good. He's not going to be in the room, which is a straw man, unfunny zing anyway. But okay, if that's, you want to get a couple retweets and say that, that's fine. But to that, I would say the work is done. He just led the 11 months. He went and saw the players. He put the draft board together with Mike DiBartolo. That's all already been done. So if the zing is, let's not have Mike Rizzo in charge of another draft because of the draft history, even though I'd say they've done pretty damn good at number one overall. But that's fine. Then you should have done it this offseason, and you would have had months with somebody else running this whole thing to prepare for the draft this week. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The real bummer of the timing of these dismissals is we don't even get to celebrate James Wood and Mackenzie Gore.
I know.
Today, making their first All-Star teams. They'll be in Atlanta next week as first-timers. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Jeff Passan of ESPN broke the story that the Nats had fired Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez at about 6:30 last evening. He's going to be on the show at the top of the hour in 12 minutes. Did they make the right decision is the question. Do you have any issue with them deciding to dismiss either Martinez or Rizzo or both? It just feels like most people had come to the realization over time that it was inevitable that they were going to move on from Davey. And I just think the track record for Rizzo has a lot more highs than Davey's. Like, if you're grading them in their time here, Rizzo's been an above-average executive. I don't know that you'd say that about Davey Martinez, whose track record and win-loss record is actually pretty brutal, minus the 2019 World Series. And so it's easier with him to just say, thanks for 2019 and the title. That was awesome. But by and large, we've got a pretty good beat on this. This is not one of the best managers in baseball or anything like that. Whereas there was a time for a while around here where people felt that way about Rizzo, which is where it gets complicated. But the fact is, it's been a long time since they won, man.
Yeah.
And you don't get to have these jobs forever. By the way, right now, our polling over on 106.7 The Fan, the Metropolitan Moving and Storage poll of the day is ongoing. Did the Nationals make the right decision? You can go vote on whether you think they did the right thing.
So the sense I've had for a while from talking to some people has been, and again, this isn't like direct source or anything. I'm not, you know, reporting anything, but it's basically been Rizzo got tired of fighting, right? Where can I have $5 million? No, you have $30,000. Can I have this amount of money for this guy? Can I? And the answer has been no, or it's not an answer, or it's intractable, or it's a different thing. And I think he checked out to a degree. I don't think he's the same grinding worker that he was a handful of years ago, doing everything they possibly could, scratching and clawing. I mean, there have been, you know, it's natural, right? You get tired of the fight the longer and longer you go, and the more comfortable you get, right? And
you can't be in a place too long.
Yeah, I think that's part of this. I mean, again, that's one of the million angles, but I don't know that he's the same executive he was. But again, I keep coming back to the ownership part of this. What were your expectations that weren't met? At what point did you say, this is enough? Was it in the second inning of the Red Sox game? Was it in the fifth inning? Was it the third game? Was it Agasawara starting? What is it that you finally said, you know what, we can't do this anymore?
Would you have fired Rizzo yesterday? 28% of you are saying yes. 72% of you are saying no. Let's go to Daniel in Rockville. Hey, Daniel, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Good, buddy.
Honestly, I would have had the owners sell the team a while ago. Rizzo was kind of getting a bad
Daniel,
deal.
Are your windows down? There's a lot of loud noises wherever you are.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Is the sailboat fun?
Keep going.
All right. Yes. Yeah. So the deferred contracts kind of hurt the team. Rizzo was given, like you all said, kind of a poor end of the deal. And you all said that the owners took notice for 90 minutes. I don't think they took notice for more than 10. since Ted Lerner died, I feel like they've kind of been struggling to figure out if they wanted to keep the team. And if I were them, I would have sold it.
Well, as evidenced by the team's been on the market, off the market, back on the market. I mean, they just haven't had the suitors at the price point that they want. Right now, there's only one known suitor, and that's Ted Leonsis. And he told us recently on the show he's interested. He said he's forever interested. But he also told us that in season, the Lerners don't like talking about selling the team. And in his last conversation, it didn't seem like they were in a place where they were going to move the team. But that is the backdrop of everything that we talk about with this team. And it seems like a factor in their lack of financial commitment that is necessary to get this team out of the dumps. Ernie's in Olney. What's going on? How are you?
I'm doing great. But if I were in the Lerner's position, they obviously don't want to do it the way the Yankees, the Phillies, the Dodgers do it, going out and buying pieces every year. I would suggest the Lerners look at the Astros and the way that they do it. Don't go out and buy a part. Buy the whole machine. Get $30, $40, $50 million. Go buy every Astro scout, every talent evaluator, every coach, instructor you can find. The Astros draft low every year because they win all the time. They lose a bunch of free agents, and every year they are more than competitive. Wow. If that's a model the Lerners would love to have, well, everybody would love to have that.
No doubt. The problem with the comp is that they also spend a lot of money, though. They got five guys on their payroll that make more than the top national. And as an example, Rizzo really wanted Christian Walker to come in and play first base this year. The Nats couldn't afford him. He went to Houston, and they had no problem paying him. But Altuve is over a $30 million player. That's over Altuve's salary alone is about half of the active payroll of the 26 players for the Nationals. So do they do things better from a development standpoint,
from
a draft standpoint? Sure. But unless you're supplementing with big league talent, Christian Walker at 20 mil, Josh Hader, their closer, at 19 mil is more than the entire Nats bullpen. Framber Valdez at 18 mil is more than the entire Nats rotation, essentially, or close to it. I guess when you throw in Trevor Williams and Soroka, it's probably a little over that. But you got to spend. They do. Brendan's in Bowie, home of the Bay Sox. What's up, dude?
Afternoon, gentlemen. I was always cool with Davey going. I wasn't cool at first with Rizzo, but when I think about it, I think he was playing cards with Tommy Shepard and what's the other guy's name? Grunfeld towards the end. I remember when our pitching rotation was feared after 2017. I mean, Rizzo, he ignored the bullpen year after year. You can't win if you can't stop the other team from scoring runs. To be quite honest, I think Irvin and Parker have been overblown. I don't think that they're that good. You know, Kenny Gore, he's a strikeout artist, but he's not dominant. You're not bringing dominant players from your farm system in to replace the guys that you're not spending for. Look at the Tampa Bay Rays. I mean, they've won 20 games in a row to start the season a couple of years ago with guys like Randy Arozarena, who was wasting away on St. Louis's bench. Same thing with Yandy Diaz, wasting away with Cleveland. They bring him in, he wins the batting title. I mean, you got to have somebody who knows what they're doing to supplant the farm system. The prospects that they bought in have been terrible, garbage. I think we give him way too much of the benefit of the doubt.
Wait, James Wood is garbage? CJ Abrams is garbage?
No.
Mackenzie Gore, those are the prospects that they brought in. What do you mean drafted?
Those are the only three. Those are the only three. All the rest of the guys that they traded for that they brought in.
Well, they haven't traded high-end talent otherwise. The one deal that they traded any legitimate star players in that they botched was the K-Bert Ruiz,
Josiah
Gray return. And Gray was an all-star at one point in time, who's got an arm injury. But yeah, that was a bad trade. But when you trade, Yan Gomes, you're not going to get a star player back. They had one card to play here, and they got a greater return than anybody ever has. Now, if you want to take issue with the draft, as we've been doing for the better part of the hour,
Yeah. It's
been their undoing as an organization. With player development, it hasn't been nearly good enough. It's been problematic. We've covered that on this show for years. But to say that the prospects they bring in are garbage, I mean, to me, that's silly. The entire thing right now is being held up by pillars that are the prospects that they brought in.
It's masked other problems.
Who have become really, really good big leaguers. Jeff Passan broke the news on ESPN yesterday. We'll get his insight on how this came about, the timing of it. Also, who are some managerial and GM options? We'll see what Passan has to say next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.